Special music in the morning service is always a good thing. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is a reoccurring topic. So 2 years ago, almost to the day, I addressed the topic. The message will be different. But we're going to look at one word in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, or two words, verse 11. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. We're going to look at strong delusion this morning. I preached a message 2 years ago by the same title, again, about 2 years ago in the month of March. But this has come up this week, and I just think we need to revisit this again. And talk about what strong delusion is. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about a time of when the tribulation period is getting started. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about the rapture has taken place. The believers, people that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, have been caught up together and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Antichrist has been revealed. And the tribulation period, Book of Revelation, chapter 4 and following, is being unleashed on the earth. The judgments, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the vial judgments, all those judgments that we're talking about on Wednesday evening are being poured out upon man. Will people be saved during tribulation period? I answered that question a couple weeks ago on Wednesday evening. And the short answer is yes. When I'm out talking to someone about their soul, about their eternity, about their destiny, it's amazing to me the number of people that are unsaved, are not in church, but know that people will be saved during the tribulation period. It just amazes me that they would know that bit about God's Word. Because to me, it would seem that that is more of a minor detail that a random obscure fact that people, the normal people, wouldn't be aware of, but they are. And so they'll say to me, well, people get saved during tribulation period. When I see the judgment, God's judgment falling out, then I'm going to get saved. And my answer is, yes, people will be saved during tribulation period, just not you. Just not you. And it always takes them back. What do you mean, just not me? If you know that Jesus Christ was born, that he lived, that he is God, that he died, that he went to the cross, he died, he was placed in the grave, and that he rose victorious, and you understand salvation is the gift of God, which is eternal life. During the tribulation period, you will not be saved, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice, let's go back to verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice this phrase, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause, that they could have been saved right now. They knew about salvation, but they refused to be. They refused that. They refused the love of the truth, that they might be saved. God shall send them, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all, not some, but they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And that's the man that says, I want to have fun, I just want to do my own thing, I want to live. The Bible is so restrictive and it keeps me from having any kind of fun. And so I don't want to come to Christ until I'm old and I've lived my life and I've sowed my wild oats and I've done all the fun things, and then I'll give my life to a boring... the Christian life may be something, but it is not boring. It is absolutely not boring. It is absolutely exciting. So, a strong delusion. Say, well, preacher, if this is a tribulation thing, what does this have to do with me now, and why is this a reoccurring thing? Wednesday evening, I mentioned that someone gave me a YouTube video to view. And so Wednesday night, I went over how I look at information as it comes to me. So we're going to start with a book this morning. And this is a book, this is an old book. This was given to my father-in-law back when he was in in school taking classes, reading, 1962. So it's not really, really old, but it's the cover is yellowed. And so I pick up a book. The first thing I look at is I open it up. I don't read, I might read the title. I open it up and I look at the back fly. The back fly talks about the author. I want to know who wrote the book. Now, this is a book called Men Aflame. It's a story of the Christian Businessmen's Association and the men that were involved in it and how it influenced business people around the world. But I want to know about the author. Who is he? And so it tells me. This guy, the author is David Enlow. He is the director of publications for Christian Businessmen. Talks about he spent 5 years as a newsman for the Orlando Sentinel Star, Orlando, Florida. And it goes on to talk about his degrees, where he went, where he teaches, where he goes to church, where he was born in Orlando, Florida. Attended Wheaton College, 1936-1937. Here's a book that I have read. And it's Unbroken. It's a story of a guy in World War II, Louis Zamperini, who died. I don't know, maybe 2004 or something like that. Anyways, in World War II, he was a pilot. He was a bombardier in a plane. A plane crashed. They were lost at sea in a raft. There were three of them for weeks and weeks and weeks. Finally came to land, got picked up, POW, in some of the worst prisoner of war camps in World War II, beaten, attacked. It's kind of an interesting life story. And then he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior, which is kind of interesting. Go through the whole book. It was one of the few books I cried when I read, because he had been picked on as a kid. He was an Olympic runner. He'd survived being lost at sea. And then went to the POW camps where he was beaten, and just the brutality there, just as breathtaking. Finally, World War II ended. He was liberated. He came back to the States, got back with his girl, got married, turned to alcohol, and his wife said, "I'm leaving you." And it was just it was that moment when I cried. It was just like, you've been through all of this. You've been through all this horror. You've been through all of this torture. And then you're going to let alcohol destroy your life. And it was just, and his wife said, "I'm going to leave you unless you go to church." And so they went to church. He heard the gospel message, came to know Christ as a Savior, and then traveled the world back to Japan to talk to the people that had tortured him, who were in a prison then, and tell them that he had forgiven them and there was forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Just an amazing story. But before I read the book, you're right, I went to the flyleaf. The author is Laura Hillenbrand. She's an author and talks about the books that she has read and where she is from. And if you want to find out, there's a couple of websites on here. Talks about where it was published. Talks about who designed the cover. Just all kinds of little facts and information about what you can find out about this book. This is not a Christian book. This is a book about a doctor. This is given to me by a doctor, given to me by Dr. Cates. It's called My Own Country. It's by a guy named Abraham Verghese. He's an Indian, a doctor. And he was in the Kingsport, Tennessee area. And that's where my oldest son ministers in a church there, Bible Baptist Church, Kingsport. And Dr. Cates gave me this book and said, this is about a doctor that ministered to AIDS patients in the Kingsport area and how prevalent AIDS was. And so I said, I don't know anything about this guy. So I opened it up, and of course, there in the back fly leaf is his picture, and it talks about how he went to a place after medical school that nobody else wanted to go, ended up down in the Kingsport area ministering to AIDS patients when nobody else would touch them, nobody else would help them. It's an inspirational story, but it talks about him, talks about his life. Abraham, first doctor to write a book at length about his experience with AIDS patients. My own country, and talked about professor of medicine, chief of infectious diseases, where he worked, where he is, what he's written. And then I was so interested after I read the book that I looked him up to find out where he is today and what he's doing. And he's teaching today and teaches students that you shouldn't just go by medical tests. You should get in there. You should talk to the patients. You should go hands-on. Just very interesting. Said, hey, we rely way too much on medical technology, x-rays and scans and order them when we should be talking to the patients. Just a very, very interesting, read. This is one of my books that is that I have read. I've read through it many times, and this is a book that I recommend. One of the few books for ladies that I recommend, if you're going through hurt, this gal, Ann Wagner, has written a book called Hope for the Hurting. And again, you open up the back, and you look on the back cover, and you can find about Ann and where she is and where she serves and her husband and some of the things that happened in her life, very traceable. I know her personally. A very helpful book for ladies that are hurt. I know her personally. I know where she goes to church. I know her husband. I know their ministry. She has been Ann Wagner. We had her in here to speak for a ladies' event several years ago. Just a really neat thing. But I say that because all these are traceable. And I always go to the back cover to see who they are, where they're from, what they've done. So that video came to me this week, and it was, Pastor, look at this. I know this is false doctrine. Person wasn't questioning. A lot of times people send me videos and say, Pastor, have you seen this? This is incredible. But it's all false doctrine. And what bothers me is that Christians, we don't recognize that. We don't recognize the strong delusion. And so, but this person said, hey, Pastor, there's videos out there. Somebody sent it to me, a family member, and I need to address this. Can you help me understand the doctrinal issues and the scriptures that say this is false? And so before I watched the video, I looked at the back cover. I'm looking for links. Who is this? Who is the author? Again, a book that is legitimate is going to tell you who they are, where they're from, what they've done, where they are today. You're going to be able to see that, easily traceable. But this was not easy to traceable. I could not, for the life of me, figure out who did the video. And I looked and looked and looked. And then finally, it was just like, I can't figure it out. There were no trademarks. There were no links. There was no nothing that would identify anybody with this video. And so as a last resort, because they asked me to, I looked for the doctrinal problem. Now, the first thing I noticed in the video was that there was no scripture mentioned. Now, I recognize that they were referencing Scripture, but they didn't say Matthew, Revelation, Joshua. They didn't reference any Scripture, which is a suspect. And then I recognized the Scriptures that they were referencing were all taken out of context. And they were not applying to what they were forcing the meaning on. And so I wrote to the person and I said, question number one, tell me who did this video because I can't figure it out. And number two, they've taken scripture and they've taken it out of context. And number three, they've said that something is going to happen tonight, which was last night, and it didn't happen. So I want to know who it is because I'm about to mark them as a false teacher. And in order to do that, I really need their name. So help me find out their name. And so I gave it to one of my computer gurus and said, hey, help me figure out who did this video. And this is what my computer guru came back and said. They said, Pastor, this is artificial intelligence. This is not done by a man. This is done by AI. This is AI. He said, tell me how you figured that out, because I really would like to know that. But I just say, we look at strong delusion and we say, what in the world could come during the tribulation period that would be so strong that it would turn people who have heard about Christ away from Christ? And I just say, strong delusion in tribulation period, as with many of the events, you ain't seen nothing yet. It is going to get worse and worse, and the technology is going to get better and better, and the facts, the slick glossies are going to become more and more believable, that you'll look at it and you'll go, wow. It's been several years ago, Caitlin was looking for a car, and she called up and talked to a lady on the phone, and the lady said, oh, you know, I'm a new salesman, and please come by, and this car is here, and it was advertised as Caitlin. I said, Caitlin, man, get there. This is a great price on this car. Get there first thing in the morning. And so she was there. She was waiting at the gate when the car dealership opened up, and they opened up, and she went in, and she said, hey, I'd like to talk to this person. They said, they don't work here. And she said, well, I'd like to see this car. I said, that car's not here. She said, I called on the phone yesterday and talked to this person, and they said this car was here. And they went, oh, that's a computer. She was talking to artificial intelligence, and she didn't even know it. Well, what is that? That's strong delusion. But in the tribulation period, it's going to be, you ain't seen nothing yet. So what should we do? What should we understand when it comes to this topic, a strong delusion? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 13. Now, we'll give lots of scripture this morning, and I'll tell you that there is way more scripture in my outline than we will ever get to this morning. But I know we're on the clock. So, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 13. False teachers, false doctrine, false narratives is not a new thing. Deuteronomy is an old book in the Old Testament. Look at verse 1, chapter 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. So this guy is telling you to do things, and it's contrary to God's word. What does God say about that? Verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him, and that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, here in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, let me just preface this by saying, you can't do that today. Now, this is for a nation. This is for a nation that was dealing with false prophets and false prophecies. That guy that was leading them away from God's word in their nation, it was a death penalty offense. It is not a death penalty offense today, but it is just dumb. It's dumb to follow somebody. Let me soften that a little bit. My, it's extremely unwise and unhealthy to follow somebody who is telling you to turn from God's word. But many of the videos that you're seeing, I don't know the percentage of them that are produced by artificial intelligence, because I don't watch them. I don't watch them. So, Pastor, would you ever watch a video? I would watch a video if I was specifically requested to do it, but I really want to know who is doing it. Who's doing it? And I'm watching for false doctrine. And when I see false doctrine, I'm going to mark them. And then when anything comes up and somebody says, hey, Pastor, have you heard what? And they throw a name out there. I go, he's false. He's false prophet. He's false. He's absolutely false. He's given predictions that are contrary to God's word. He has pulled scripture out of context. He is not to be trusted on anything. Stop listening to him. Stop it. But we don't. We are to walk after the Lord. We are to fear God. We are to keep His commandments. We are to obey His voice. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. In Deuteronomy, an old book, way back in the beginning history of the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, verse 20, it was prevalent back then. It is absolutely epidemic today in the day and age in which we live. Verse 20 says of the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." Again, it was a death penalty offense for the nation of Israel. "And if thou say in thine heart," how shall we know? That's a legitimate question. It's what we're talking about this morning. Well, you can go to filings in the back of the book to see. But they're asking the question, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? Oh, verse 22 gives you another thing. Here it is. "When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." So if the guy is speaking something that is contrary to God's word, contrary to doctrine, you should mark him. Stop listening to him. You should immediately come to recognize that name. That guy is a false prophet. If he's saying things are going to come to pass and they don't, which is another marker. I watched that video from artificial intelligence, and artificial intelligence absolutely said, today, this is going to happen, and it didn't happen. And so I'm here today to mark artificial intelligence as a false prophet. Stop it. Well, preacher, what should I do? Get your Bible out, read your Bible, see what God says. You can trust the author. You know where he is. You know where he is today. You know what he did. You know what he created. It's all available in God's word. You can track him. You can find out where he is just by reading his book. And it is all there. Here's what the video said. And this is, quote, "A scary prophecy has begun to unfold in the United States of America. This prophecy is going to shake the United States tonight." Tonight. That didn't happen. It just didn't happen. But good luck convincing the person who sent it, who is debating with their family member, because they absolutely believe this guy. Now, this guy, can you tell me his name? Oh, I don't know his name. Would you believe me if I told you our computer experts say that this guy is artificial intelligence? Oh, I don't believe that. It's really hard to have a debate with somebody that is so focused on the video. They're so impressed by the graphics that they... What is it? Strong delusion. This is absolutely what it is. We are to beware of that. The children of Israel were to be aware of that. They were supposed to compare it by God's word, and then they were supposed to compare it by whether or not the thing came to pass. And if the thing did not happen, that person in Israel was to die. Today, that person should absolutely be marked, and we'll show you that from God's word as well. That's in Romans chapter 16. I'll just throw it out there now. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, now Romans is in the New Testament. Apostle Paul writing, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." What are they trying to do? They're trying to get clicks. They're trying to get paid advertising. They're trying to write books. They're trying to draw you in. They're trying to send me some seed money. Trying to get money from you. Well, you should beware when men make merchandise of you. Just beware. "For they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of many." It's going on in Deuteronomy. It's going on in Romans. It's going on in the future. Thessalonians talks about, again, during the tribulation period, strong delusion that will delude people that have heard the gospel from receiving the gospel. What will that strong delusion be? I have no idea, but I just know the delusion is very, very strong today. And during the tribulation period, when it comes to the judgments, the trumpets, the seals, the vial judgments, I have said routinely on Wednesday night, because people say, oh, Pastor, there's earthquakes. You ain't seen nothing yet. If you think earthquakes are bad today, you wait till tribulation period, because it's going to be exponentially worse, such as is not evident in the history of our known world. That's during tribulation period. This is an interesting one. 1988, I'll give you a couple of old ones, I'll give you a new one. 1988, Edgar Wisenart. Now here's a smart guy. He is a former NASA engineer. And he published a book in 1988. Just curiosity, how many of you were not born in 1988? Okay, yeah, there you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, Rick, you were born in 1988. Well, you weren't born in 1988. You were born in 1918. Were you alive in 1988? There's always one wisecracker in the room. 1988, this retired NASA, so he's a smart guy, this retired NASA engineer wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Is Going to Come Back in 1988. You're still here. It's way over 7 years, so we're not talking about... And listen, we are absolutely not in the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ right now. The world's still in bad shape. We're still looking for the rapture. What was he? He was absolutely wrong. What should we do? We should mark them. Mark him. So, Mr. Wyden, don't follow him. You see his stuff on the internet? Don't follow it. Somebody sends you a link, and you see, why is not? You say, this guy's a nut. Some of his stuff may be good, some of it may be true, some of his math may. When somebody says, hey, I found hidden numbers in the Word of God, and these numbers add up to be God is going to come back in 1988, he was wrong. But he's not done. Obviously, Jesus did not come back in 1988. So he's a NASA engineer, big mind guy, so he's got to sit down. There's got to be something wrong with my math. And he figured it out. And in 1989, he wrote another book and released more stuff about when Jesus was going to come back. And you know what that was? That was wrong. First one was wrong. Second one was wrong. You would think after a while that people would go, hey, you've been wrong. We're not going to follow you anymore. You're messed up. Your thinking is messed up. And his thinking is messed up. But every year, for several years, 88, 89, 90, 90, he kept writing books and publishing stuff and selling them. And you would think that the body of Christ would say, we're not going to follow this guy. But it is amazing how many Christians have itching ears and want to find something new and tantalizing to say, I know something you don't know about the return of Jesus Christ. It's just not wise. It's just not wise. What is he? He's a false prophet. False prophet. Turn with me to... let me just read a couple of passages for you, because we're running out of time. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. During the first century, Matthew writing of Jesus Christ speaking, and he's saying in that first century, beware. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening words. Ye shall know them by their fruits. And sometimes they're preachers. Way back in the book of Exodus, or Ezekiel reminded the people, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesying, saying to them, thus saith the Lord unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not they feed the flock? I won't tell you this guy's name. He's still in ministry today. He was doing a men's conference, and during the men's conference, he was talking about how many times a week he went golfing. People say to me, "Preacher, do you golf?" I said, I do golf. Putt-putt, and the windmill is my favorite hole. No, I don't golf. So he's telling me, he's telling the group that he golfs like 18 times a month. Now, I don't know how long it takes you to do 18 holes of golf. It just seems like that would be like an all-day event. So to me, it would, anyway. And I know he's a pretty big church. And so during the break, I went up to him and I said to him, "My church is not near as big as yours. And I don't have time to golf 18 times a month." I said, "How in the world do you find time to golf and do Bible study? I mean, how do you do that?" And this is what he said to me. "I have people on staff that do my Bible study for me." I said, "You do what?" He said, "Yeah, I have people on staff." He said, "For instance," he said, this thing I've got going on today." He said, "I haven't seen this material before today, the men's conference." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Yeah. I went to my secretary and said, 'Hey, I'm going to Virginia. I'm going to do this men's conference, this men's retreat, and there's going to be so many men there, and I need an outline and handouts and stuff for this men's retreat.'" And she went to the file, my secretary, and she picked it up and she wrote it up and she did the thing and she handed it before I went out the door. And really, the first time I've seen it is today. I said, you've got to be kidding me. He said, "No." And so the next session, I watched him. Yeah, it was absolutely. He had to be glued to his outline because he had no idea what was there. And my respect for him, and then if he wrote a book, I wouldn't read it. Because he probably didn't write it. And if he was hosting a conference, I wouldn't go. And if he was going to a place and they had him as a speaker, I wasn't going to hear him. Because he had nothing to offer me. Because he's not getting anything from God. So I'd rather sit down with his secretary that did the Bible study and hear what she got from God's Word. Because he's not getting a thing. That's not new. Ezekiel said, "Woe to the shepherds that don't study and feed my sheep." Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I really want to read this entire passage, and I don't think that we're going to be able to. 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about the infiltration of false prophets. Again, we're in the first century. Peter writing, and he's saying, "Beware, this is coming. False prophets, there were false prophets in the past, going way back to Deuteronomy, also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." What are they going to look like? Verse 2, "And many," this verse ought to stir you up. Verse 2, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness," they're going to make money off you, "shall with feigned words make merchandise of you." They're going to sell you their books and their videos, and you're going to click on their links, and they're going to get rich by just you following them. It goes on down through verse 9, over and over and over again. Chapter 2 of 2 Peter talks about infiltration. It talks about their secretiveness. It talks about them denying spiritual work. It talks about their self-wills, their resisting authority. Verse 12 talks about them speaking evil. They're ignorant, deceptive. Verse 14, adulterers. Verse 16 and verse 18 talk about words without wisdom. Verse 17, "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest." They have nothing to say. Nothing to say. All promises, empty promises, no delivery. Here's a guy that lived in our lifetime, Harold Camping. Harold Camping was the voice of American Family Radio. Had great music selection. They had all kinds of... He did Bible study. He did question and answer time. And he was famous for saying, "And now may I have the next caller, please?" Now, he was People followed him. They loved him. And he gave all kinds of prophecies about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Every single one of his prophecies had something in common. Every single one was absolutely wrong. He said, Jesus is coming back, and he named a date, and Jesus didn't. And after the first one, he should have been written off by Christianity. Absolutely should have been written off. But he kept publishing books. People sold houses. They quit jobs. They went. People lost fortunes following his false prophecies. Don't you be the next one. Don't you be the next one. Jesus is coming back. September 6, 1994. Did not occur. Should have been labeled. Gave a new date. Jesus is coming back. September 29, 1994. Wrong again. Then he said, Jesus is coming back in October. I just got the dates wrong. Wrong again. Then he said, the second coming of Christ is going to be May 21st, 2020, 2011. He's wrong that one too. And wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong. But there are people around here in our area that literally took out second mortgages on their homes to buy billboards to say Jesus is coming back on this date. You better come to Christ. And when the date didn't come and they couldn't pay the mortgages, the second mortgages, they lost their homes. And I drive by one of those homes almost every day of the week. When I drive by there, I always think, that poor guy lost that house. Well, a beautiful house on the corner of South Kings Highway over here. And he lost it all because he believed a false prophet and did not mark him as he should have. And say, Pastor, I would never do that. He was a good guy, a big house, a good businessman, had a good brain. Talked to him personally. And he lost it all because he failed to exercise spiritual discernment. Turn me to 2 Timothy. Lots in the Bible to talk about this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. That's what I'm supposed to do. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Verse 3, for the time will come, I think the time has arrived, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. One of the hallmarks of the book of Revelation is a false prophet. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13 talks about the false prophet. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Again, one of the marks of the tribulation period is the false prophet, false doctrine, delusion. I've got the guy's name here. Just for effect, for me, I'm going to circle it. But I'm not going to mention his name because he's still out there. And I know if I mention his name that some of you are going to go out and look him up and you're going to get turned away. But he has made a prediction. He made a prediction that Jesus was going to come back in 2022. His videos were viewed 1.8 million times. Zachary, what year is it? It's 2025. So Jesus did not come back in 2022. Are you with me? And so we are not in the tribulation period. This is not going on. You ain't seen nothing yet. But they reviewed one point. You would think after 2022 that people would say, false prophet. But no, he's still writing videos. He has a new date. He has a new date. Ready? Jesus is coming back in 2023. What year is it again? 2025. So he's wrong twice. Don't follow him. But his original video viewed 1.8 million times. What is he doing? He's still writing a book. He's got a new date. I'm ready. Are you ready for this? Jesus is coming back this year. Jesus is coming back on October 2nd, 2025. Say, preacher, does that give you pause? No. On October 3rd, 2025, I think I'm going to preach this message again. No, I'm just teasing. But people will follow him. Here's the problem. And you go up to people and they say, hey, Pastor, have you seen this guy? Jesus, come back. I'm coming. Get ready. What are we going to do? We're going to have a special prayer meeting. No. Because he's a false prophet. He's wrong once, wrong twice. He's going to be wrong three times. In the Old Testament, he should have been eliminated. In the New Testament, he absolutely should be marked. Not followed. Not encouraged. Not embraced. Not to point out to others. And what? Say, preacher, what's the harm? Here's the harm. Are you ready? When we, as a body of believers, get caught up in these false doctrines, the unsaved world becomes calloused to the gospel message. When they make the news, when camping makes the news, I tell you what, I was so glad when that went away and his name has disappeared. Why? Because for weeks and weeks and weeks, when I was out knocking on doors, people would say, oh, you're a camping guy? Jesus coming back? You know, they thumb your nose at you, throw it right back in your face. Said, that guy's a false prophet. That's absolutely wrong. Jesus could come back. He absolutely could, any day, any moment. But every time one of those things comes up, it says to the world that's lost, Christiana, they're just a bunch of nuts. It's all false. He's not coming back. But he is. Jesus Christ is absolutely going to come back. When? I have no idea. And the Bible does not tell us. And no man knows. What is going to happen? The Antichrist is going to be revealed. He absolutely will. There's going to be 7 years of unspeakable tribulation. Seal judgments, trumpet judgments, vial judgments. The horror that is poured up upon this earth is going to be insane, like nothing we've ever seen. And if you've heard a gospel message and you've refused to come to Christ, now you will never be saved. That's the message of 2 Thessalonians. You bow your head to close your eyes. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You hear this morning, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not saved. I need to be saved. God is speaking to my heart. Christian, you're a burden for somebody who is not saved. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm burdened for somebody who is not saved. Let's stand to our feet. Piano is playing. The altar is open. You want to pray? You can come.